Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, and welcome to Five Smooth Stones Radio with Brother Seth, a place where the Hebrew Israelite can call home and where an awakening is taking place from the four corners of the earth. Five Smooth Stones with Brother Seth have compelling and informative programming during the week, starting with, on Sundays at 11:30 p.m., Proof of Biblical Hebrews 101, Tuesdays at midnight, Racial Matters and Solutions, Thursdays at midnight, New World Watch Society, and around out the week on Saturdays, the International Israelite Forum. Check back with Five Smooth Stones for specific times, and all shows are on Central Standard Time. I'm Brother Bobby, a.k.a. Victim 2 Victorious, and these shows have been a blessing to me, and I'm sure they'll be a blessing to you. So come check out Brother Seth here at Five Smooth Stones Radio, where your mind will be expanded, your spirit challenged, and the peace of the Most High reigns supreme. Shalom.
Put on your Gideon suit, oh Lord.
That's right, ready or not. Soldiers of Jah. I think it's Psalm 68 where it talks about Jah being one of the names of the Most High. Folks, I want to thank y'all for another episode. Thank you for visiting us for another episode of Blog Talk Radio. We are Five Smooth Stones. And tonight is Thursday night, and y'all know what Thursday night means. Thursday night means we are going to talk about New World Order or anything that relates to what's really going on, what's behind the scenes, things that some people might find hard to believe. Not for that reason. We're not being controversial just to be controversial. We're not being, we don't pick the most hardest thing to believe just to talk about it. Please know that we're a lot bigger than that. And when I say we, let me explain who I'm talking about when I say we. A lot of times I have on guests. Tonight I won't have on a guest, but most of the time, or sometime I have on a guest. And these are friends of mine. Maybe we're not as close as it sounds, but these are people I've met either on Blog Talk or in my personal life that have come to the conclusion, or we have come to similar conclusions, and we iron sharpen iron and just kind of encourage each other and help each other. So occasionally I'll have on brothers and sisters, some I know very well, some I don't know that well, that have a similar interest, similar revelation, and we call this group of people, as well as those individuals that keep visiting this blog and contributing, I may not even have on the show, we call these people we. And the we is the New World Watch, the New World Order Watch Society. We are watching this New World Order, and it's very important we watch this New World Order, because most people are oblivious to the New World Order. This is a very real, in-your-face, tangible organization, government, internationally speaking, that are in serious unity to bring about a change to our planet. Unknowingly, they are following plan of Satan. They are in agreement without knowing, and some do know, they are in agreement for the destruction of the planet. There is an old ancient beef that Satan, I believe, held with the Most High when he was kicked out of the heaven. And at that point he became Satan, was Lucifer. Him and many other angels. These are spirits. They have no bodies like we have bodies. They're not flesh and blood. They don't possess flesh and blood. They are spirits. Spirits really is more real than the natural realm. Spirits are more real than the natural realm. And one of these days, we're going to get sensitive enough to the spiritual realm to where that won't sound as crazy as it sounds right now. So when I say we, talking about you, some of you that have been following this blog, following the show, and you've been contributing, or maybe not. Maybe you just simply like what you hear and you just want to sharpen your iron, so to speak. And but the many guests that we have on as well, we call all of these people a society or a we. So when y'all hear Brother Seth say we this, we that, that's who I'm talking about. So we believe that there is a such thing as a new world order, and that this new government is globally. Eventually, if they have their way, we'll have one currency, one religion, one rule. And folks, I'm telling you, when I say one rule, I mean one governing body. And eventually, when you have that kind of unity on the planet, the only person that can handle that kind of power is the Most High himself. When mankind gets that kind of power, normally it goes straight to their head and they become oppressors. And so we have much more proof. We have much proof of this New World Order, what it's doing, what it has done, what it will do. It is so real. Many people talk about it in the powerful circles such as the Congress, Capitol Hill, talked about in the media, talked about in every arena you can think of, in the schools and the colleges. It is talked about, it is talked about, it is talked about. A very real institution, the New World Order. So we have a lot of things going on around us, folks. And Brother Seth is just simply trying to shed light to wake up some of the most powerful people on the face of this earth, and I'm talking about the church. And I'm talking about those that really don't consider themselves church, but nevertheless, they are the church anyway because they're the church in spirit. They fear the Most High. They're trying to keep his commandments. They're not perfect, but they're just trying to keep his commandments, follow his rule, follow his order. These people are who we're trying to wake up, because this New World Order cannot get strength unless the blind multitudes give it to them. So I don't know how much I'm able to do with a blog and the fact that I've been sharing this for years in different circles. I don't know how much change I've made or will make. I just know that I feel good trying. I just know that I feel good sharing, getting it out. Many people have heard the call and went about to express this in their own way. Some of y'all are so much more talented than I am, and you speak well. You speak more fluently, more fluent. You're more educated, and I don't mind you sharing the things that you've learned on this show. Ain't nothing copyrighted here. We're trying to get truth out. I don't get a penny from y'all. I don't even ask. A lot of bloggers ask, and rightfully so. They might deserve it, but I don't. Some might say, well, you foolish for doing that. Well, that could be argued too. But, folks, we've got to get out the word about this New World Order. It is real. It is powerful. And these people, as much as I love the Obamas, I mean, I love President Barack Obama, his beautiful wife and children, but I had to come to grips that this man is picked by the powers that be. And, by the way, I forget, I'm jumping ahead. I'm moving too fast. But everybody in the chat room, I want to thank y'all, Ms. Wright, Eagle 02, I Am Epic, and the guests. Those of you on the phone lines, y'all, welcome, welcome, welcome. Please forgive me for not typing and welcoming y'all that way, but definitely y'all welcome. It's always good to see you. And this, we're headed for another great show here on Five Smooth Stones. Again, we're located at blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. 5 smooth stones. Don't forget the underscore. All right? And I'll give that address because some people just have a phone number. Before I get too deep into this, because we're going to get deep into this tonight, just want to remind everybody, please, I know I say it every episode, but I can't say it enough. If you haven't went the website that's on the front page, where you get to the front page, is while you're looking at that show right now with the pictures scrolling, look above it and you'll see where it says Buy 5 Smooth Stones. Right click on that open it up in a new window or a new tab, and just go ahead while I'm talking and enroll yourself at our website. Well, first click on that, first right click on it and open up a new tab, and then go to the website, the Five Smooth Stone website. Right up under, you'll see it under the shows on the Five Smooth Stone description. Go to fivesmoothstones.web.com, please, and become a member. This is how we communicate with each other, iron sharpening iron. We can exchange videos, exchange information, exchange podcasts. I'm going to be doing a lot with that particular website. And by the way, we are going to a bigger venue than this Blog Talk. I'm going to be doing a thing where I give out a phone number and we'll be able to take hundreds of calls, have hundreds of calls on the line at the same time. I'm just waiting. I already got it set up. I already got an account. I'm just waiting on the time. Certain, I'm waiting on a few things to happen, and then I'm going to be giving everybody out a different phone number. You'll call that phone number, and we'll all be away from Blog Talk at a different setup, and then we'll just have to find a new venue to chat. That's the only thing holding us up. I want to be able to find a new venue to chat. But once we get the chatting address, you'll be able to call on your phone, wherever you're at, and we'll be able to just take lots of calls. So I'm just tired of Blog Talk. I'm very tired of the different things that's going on. So there you have it. We'll talk about that more in the future. But go to the website and also follow this blog. Some of y'all have yet to click on Reminder. While you're on that front page, go ahead and click on Reminder. Get a reminder sent to your cell phone or your email address, okay? And while you're also looking at that, it's a lot on that front page, I'm telling you. While you're reading the show description, go ahead and move down at the bottom of the show description and get that link to the library. I have a library at Google, and you can see a lot of scholarly proof of the very things I'm talking about. Right where it says Five Smooth Stones at the very end, there is an address for Google. Cut and paste that and go to that address at Google, and you'll be able to see all of the books or a lot of the books that have influenced myself. Okay? So tonight, I want to play something for you just to start it off with a bang. I want y'all to hear something right off the bat. Just want y'all to hear this right off the bat without even playing around. We're going to go straight to the word on this. Check this out and tell me what y'all think of this, okay? Listen to this, please.
Chapter 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is. And the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, and chosen, and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes, and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth.
It's just a sample. That's just something that's just kind of brewing to me. I just felt like setting the tone for tonight. This is what this show is about. Revealing who Okay, all right, hold on. I see. Hold on a second. Okay, can y'all hear me now? Please let me know if you can hear me in the chat room. It's very important. Quick, let me know, because someone said the sound was gone. So if you can hear me, please let me know. Can you hear me? This is what I'm going to do. Since the sound was gone, I'm going to actually go back and play that whole thing again. Eagle021, I appreciate you saying that. I'm going to try it again.
Chapter 17. And there came one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither. I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings, 5 are fallen, and 1 is. And the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, and chosen, and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes, and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth.
Okay, folks, the reason why I played that is because, now I hear an echo, hold on 1 second. Okay, the reason why I played that was because a lot of people have a phone number that I've given them or somebody's given them, or maybe they put me in their phone, and they're going on the road, they're working, one guy told me he jogs, and they listen to these shows live, and they do not have a Bible. So that's why I do this, okay? So just flow with me. It's always good to hear it, regardless if we have Bibles ourselves or not. I feel you, though. I know what y'all saying. But anyway, I wanted y'all to hear certain things that were said in that clip. One of the things that was said about this nation called Mother of Harlots was that she was a mother. Oh, I still hear her echo. I got another phone on. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to actually take this phone, place it a little further away from me. I have a backup phone for when there's a problem with sound, and it's echoing from this one. But anyway, there are several things that I got out of that Revelation 17. One of them is, did you hear the reader saying, made drunk. She have made the nations drunk with her wine. Now, many people say, well, it's not the United States. Other people say it is. So it don't matter if it is or not. It does matter, but I'm just saying right now I want to prove a point here. Whoever this nation is, she made the nations drunk with her wine. And please, if y'all can't hear me, do like you did before. Y'all was really nice, and I appreciate that because it means a lot to us bloggers. If you can't hear us, let us know. We can do something. I can call back, or I can switch phones or something. So let me know. I still hear a little echo, but I'm going to ignore it if y'all can hear me, okay? But anyway, Revelation 17 said that this nation made the other nations of the world drunk with her wine. Question, what exactly is her wine? We're going to talk about that. And then she had the names of blasphemy. She had the names of blasphemy. Okay, and now this is the big one I want to talk about. This nation that wears the shoe of Revelation 17 literally, folks, is the mother of all harlots. That means this is headquarters for harlots. It also says that this nation would be the mother of abomination. Y'all go figure that one out. The mother of abominations. I don't know how that's set with y'all when y'all hear that, but the mother of abominations, what does that mean? It means what it says. And if you look at the United States of America, as great as this country is, some people say, and I know it has greatness, I'm not stupid, but I also know that whatever nation is going to be the top nation of all nations, this Revelation 17, this nation, is going to have to be a very wicked nation to have that kind of power. You only get that kind of power by either submitting to the Most High as a nation or submitting to Satan as a nation. You do not become top nation in the world unless you're doing one of the two, because those are the only two real forces out there, the forces of evil and the forces of good. So to be a great nation, you have to ask yourself, how am I great? Why am I great? So I wanted to just kind of put that out there, and then I want to do something else. I want to read a list of abominations in the Bible. Y'all may want to get your pen out for this, not that you don't already know it, but get your Bible, get your pens out and your Bibles if you have a minute. And I'll tell you what, while y'all getting y'all's Bibles out, I'm going to actually call back into the show. So just bear with me. I'm going to call back into the show because I cannot stand this feedback. And I'm going to reach all these abominations. It's just going to shock you to hear the abominations I'm about to read. So just hold on a second. While I do this, I'm going to play Let My People Go by The Whinings. And I'll be back shortly. I'm going to call back and get this phone thing cleared up. And then we're going to read. You're going to be amazed to hear these abominations that America is a part of its culture. The abominations in the Bible is a part of the fabric culture of America. So in other words, what we call normal living, a lot of it's abominations, right out of Scripture. So I'll call right back in a second, but in the meantime, check this out.
I'm back.
Let my people go. That's a good anthem there. But listen, folks, I want y'all to jot this down. These are the abominations in the Bible, okay?
Leviticus 18 and 22. Leviticus 18 and 22. We'll read them. But right now, Leviticus 18 and 22. Leviticus 20 and 13. These are all of the abominations that I know of in the Scriptures. Leviticus 20 and 13. Then Deuteronomy, the part of the Torah, 27 and 15. A lot of people don't know what Deuteronomy is. I don't know how they don't figure that out. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, fifth book of the Torah, 27 and 15. And then Proverbs 6 and 16. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 6:16 through 19, it talks about abomination. Now, what is an abomination? Abomination is something that's just the Most High hates sin. Okay, let's get that out of the way. He definitely hates sin. but the abominations is something he would just wipe away, wipe people off the planet for. I mean, he didn't play around with abominations. It was just, it's like a higher level of sin, if you will. I know sin is sin, but abominations have always been talked about as a whole nother level of anger that the Most High gets from people that commit these things, okay? So that's Proverbs 6:16 through 19. Proverbs 11 and 1. Proverbs 11 and 1. I know some of y'all saying, I didn't mean to have no Bible study. Well, you can't dodge a Bible study. You can't get around the Bible. If you want to talk about end time events and what's happening in our world, it all going to go back to the spiritual. I'm telling you. I don't care if you're talking about secret societies. If you start infiltrating all these secret societies, you'll be shocked to know how much of the scriptures is applied even there. They don't do number reading for the sake of going against it. Okay, that's Proverbs 11 and 1 now. Proverbs 11 and 20. Proverbs 11 and 20 is another one. Proverbs 16 and 12. Proverbs 16 and 12. And then Proverbs 17 and 15. Proverbs 17 and 15. All right, now that I mentioned those to you, let's read them. Starting with Leviticus 18 and 22. Check this out. When I mentioned the abomination, think about the American culture. Remember, we just listened to Revelation 17, where it's talking about the characteristics of this whore, this nation that's going to be judged. And it mentioned a lot of these characteristics. So watch this. Thou shalt not lay with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. So homosexuality. Right there, verse 1. Thou shalt not lay with mankind as with womankind. Okay? I know what somebody's thinking. Well, let me just keep reading. Maybe I'll answer your question. Leviticus 20 and 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Same scripture. Same. It's saying the same thing twice in both Leviticus 18 and 22 and Leviticus 20 and 13. So I don't know how the homosexual community try to get out of that one. I mean, you know what? You know what I don't understand about people? If you like something, hey, you like it. Whatever reason, you like it. I'm not saying it's right. You just like it. But why do people try to go and make what they like a part of life? They try to make what they like a part of living. They try to make what they like, they try to get rights for it and try to make it out of a culture. I mean, and people say, talk about the closet, people's in the closet. This is the way I feel. If something is an abomination and it's proof that it's going to bring down a nation, which is the only reason, which is what an abomination is, something that can destroy a nation. Why not keep it in the closet? Why would you be bold with it? Somebody said, well, be proud of who you are. I mean, really? I mean, for real, do you really mean that? I mean, in that case, any and everything that's an abomination or that's considered sin, we should be proud of. So I know y'all going to say that we should... I know y'all are not going to say on this line that we should be proud of all sin and anything that's wicked and evil. I didn't make the Bible. It ain't something. It's not a book I wrote. This is just a statute, laws, and guidelines that's older than you and I combined. And I don't think we should even bat at trying to question it. I just don't. It's just there, and we have got to line our lives up with what it says versus, well, I like this and I like that. Well, you might like this and you might like that, and you may try to make this a lifestyle, and you may, but just know that it's wrong. This is what I just don't, and I don't want to turn the show into talking about homosexuality, but and I think we should to some degree have a show on in the future. But I guess what I'm saying is why do people try to take what they do that is wrong and make it a standard for everybody? Just know that it's wrong, acknowledge it's wrong, and do what you do in the dark where nobody can see you. People want to be all out accepted. It's as crazy as a murderer wearing on his T-shirt, "Everybody murdered." trying to have pride and want to go have rights, that he be respected. I don't know. It's crazy. Okay, but that is an abomination. Straight up. I mean, you can't. I'm sure that's probably why it's listed twice in the Bible. Okay? So moving right along. Deuteronomy 28, 27, and 15. Deuteronomy 20. If y'all can hear me okay in the chat room, I know you just commented on it earlier. Please comment again. Say, both of us, we hear you just fine. Keep talking or something. Please, because I need to know. I just need to know. Okay? Deuteronomy 27 and 15. Deuteronomy 27 and 15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of his craftsmen, and putteth it in a sacred place. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Again, Deuteronomy 27, 15. Check this out. How many people do this? Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a sacred place. In other words, they're making things as deity, images, pictures of the Messiah. See, the reason why I believe that the Most High had this law is he knew people would begin to use that to try to teach people subliminal messages. I know y'all saying, oh, Brother Seth, that's not what that's saying. I got news for you. This is all over the Bible. Part of the Ten Commandments, I should not make any graven image. Here it is. We just read it in Deuteronomy 27 and 15. Also, it's in the book of Habakkuk. It's in the book of Habakkuk. Watch this. I'm going to read it to you real quick. If I can find it with one hand here. But Habakkuk was complaining to the Most High of injustices during his time. Now, y'all, this is going to get a little tight, so I know don't y'all run away now, because this is going to get a little tight. I'm probably going to step on some feet. Hopefully y'all don't participate in these abominations, but if you do or we do, we're the ones got to change. Folks, we can't just go looking at the Most High saying, can you change this because I like doing this? We can't do that. It ain't going to work like that. I'm serious. So I want y'all to check this out. This is Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a prophet. Watch this. He's talking about complaining to the Most High, how that people how injustices is going on in his day, and he's talking about the system, how it don't work. That's why I always say Habakkuk was a, it reminds me of every time I read it, just reminds me of black men. What they say all the time, the system don't work, things ain't right, people mistreated, so the system is a joke. Habakkuk is complaining to the Most High, okay, and he is just going off, talking about how wrong things are, and when you get around to, I think it's the third chapter, I'm looking this up as we speak, but when you get to the third chapter, he talks about images that are being put out to teach, images that are being used in his time to teach. Y'all think I'm kidding. I'm serious. So when we read this scripture talking about it being an abomination, it was a major problem back then, and it is a major problem today. People are using these images, graven images, could be crosses, could be pictures of the Messiah, be pictures of just any deity. They're using these images to promote their brand of what they think the Most High look like. So really and truly, we shouldn't have any of them. Any of them. I mean, literally, any of them. So let me see if I can find this real quick, and I'm going to show you exactly what I'm talking about. Okay? But this is Habakkuk complaining about them using images. And I'll find it here in a second. But I'm telling you, everybody should read the book of Habakkuk. It really talks about injustice. If you really don't believe in the system and you have beef with the system, and you're always talking about the system, here it is. You have beef with the system and you always complain about the system, read Habakkuk, because he has talked to the Most High and he's just going off, and then the Most High answers him. And that's when you'll really see something. When he answers him and say, "I see what you're going through," and he says, "I'm basically let them know I'm doing something with these people. I'm literally using them." So anyway, chapter 2, verse 18. What profited the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it? One more time. What profit the graven image that the maker thereof have graven it, the molten image, and a teacher of lies, the maker of his work, trusted therein to make dumb idols? So it was talking about people using idols to teach. One more time. What maketh the graven image that the maker thereof have graven it? The molten image, and a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusted therein to make dumb idols. Okay? So in then verse 19 says, "Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach." One more time, verse 19. "Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach." So what I'm saying to you, there are people that have made these images, and they're basically saying it's going to teach. It's going to put our brand of Christianity out there. We're going to make all these white images, and they put them all over the world and wonder why the world is sinking in white supremacy. Okay, Proverbs 6:16. Listen to this. Listen to these abominations and tell me, do you see this in America? "These 6 things doeth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him." One more time. "These 6 things doeth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him." Here we go. Listen to these. "A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands," this is deep, "and hands that shed innocent blood." This is our culture. Let me back up one more time. "These 6 things doeth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look." In America, some of the most proudest people on the planet. Now, some of that is healthy. It's okay to be proud to some degree. But I mean arrogant, a proud look, a lying tongue. Everything about America's lie. NBC, ABC, CBS, the whole culture, our whole culture is full of deception, lies, and hands that shed innocent blood. My goodness, that's just, isn't that like the government of the United States? "And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations," a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Just think about our culture, what we go through every day, advertising. How many lies do we hear in the course of a day, especially if you watch TV? How much deception? How much trickery? "A heart that devises wicked imagination." Here goes another one. "Feet that's swift in running to mischief." One more time. "Feet that be swift in running to mischief." Go figure that one out. "A false witness that speaketh lies." A false witness that speaketh lies. "And he that soweth discord among his brother." These, I should say,
or the abomination. Folks, what I just read is our culture. If I subtract those things from the United States, there would be no United States. Everything I just read is our culture. Simple and plain. It is our culture. So, when some of y'all hear me talking about the United States and you hear ministers and different people, scientists, politicians speaking out in the United States and y'all get upset, this is why. When we read things like this, we can't help but to say, wow, this is our nation. This is our culture. This is what we put up with this from the time our feet hit the floor off the side of the bed. You know how you get up out of your bed in the morning or in the afternoon, whenever you get up, and your feet touch the ground? From the time you communicate with anybody, the deception, the lies, the trickery, feet that shed innocent blood, a proud look, lying tongues, I mean, a heart that devises wicked imaginations. I mean, somebody might say, well, that's every nation. That's not true. That's not true. Not every nation just is run off this much sin. But listen, I'm not done. Verse 11 and 1 of Proverbs, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. But a just weight is his delight. Most High wants us to be balanced. A false balance is an abomination. And that one I have to get into a little deeper at another time, because that right there is a whole Bible study all by itself. When I visit the Dimona, Israel, and they talked a little bit about that. But anyway, I'm not going to get into that right now, okay? Proverbs 11 and 20. They that are perverse in heart are an abomination to the Lord. But such as are perfect in their way are his delight. One more time. Proverbs 11 and 20. They that are perverse in their heart are an abomination to the Lord. In other words, a perverse heart. Heart ain't right. But such as are perfect in their way are his delight. Now, if he said perfect in their way, that means you can be perfect in your way. Don't mean you don't make mistakes. We're talking about a heart. You ever seen people whose heart is right, but they make dumb mistakes? I'm not saying go make mistakes, but I'm saying when your heart is right, that's what he's looking for, not the little mistakes you make when your heart is right. Okay? Proverbs 16 and 12, it is an abomination to the kings to commit wickedness. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. I wrote that down, but I don't think that's an abomination to kings, so I don't really mean, we won't count that one. Okay. Proverbs 17 and 15, let's read that one. He that justified the wicked, ain't that a lot of your courts, all these attorneys? I got a friend of mine who stopped being an attorney because they couldn't live with themselves with getting off crooked people. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just. Ain't that like United States courthouses? Even they both are an abomination to the Lord. So, folks, that last one, that's all we do in this country is get wicked people off the hook and condemn the just. How many men are put in prison unjustly? Even men that have done some of the things they say, I think, shouldn't be in prison. Just because somebody did steal a TV or was caught shoplifting, I don't think they're supposed to go to jail, prison. So I think there's a wicked system that's, we all make those mistakes.
But when we was coming up, they weren't throwing people in prison over every little thing. But now, whole lot of black men, and I'm being honest, I'm keeping this thing real because it just is, whole lot of black men locked up over some dumb stuff. And some of them are innocent. But I'm talking about the ones that actually did some of this stuff. Some of this stuff just is unheard of. So I look at it like this. Even though they might have stole, you know, the Bible said despise not a thief if he's still because he's hungry. I'm just saying there's a lot of people in prison. I'm not talking about the knuckleheads that did stuff, harm people, kill people. I'm talking about folks that's in there for some dumb, dumb stuff. And y'all know what I'm talking about. But as you see, these are the abominations that the Most High cannot stand. And these abominations you saw with your own, you heard with your own ears, they are, those abominations are the culture of our country. So what in the world does that mean? Like Habakkuk was told, like Habakkuk was saying to the Most High, and in the book of Habakkuk, he was complaining. Folks, we just got to be alert and aware of what is going on. It's just that simple. Too many believers are walking around with all this power. Some of these folks have followings, and they just need to know exactly where we live and what this country is all about. I'm going to let y'all hear another clip. It's kind of old, but a lot of y'all haven't heard it, so it won't be old to you at all. But I want you to listen to this. And I played this before, and a lot of people was alarmed by this. And I want y'all to check this out. Just listen to this. This is something, well, I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm just going to play this, and y'all tell me what you think. Check this out.
We got a Mayday report from someone who said that this trucker said, this is no joke. Huge movement of heavy artillery, tanks, rocket launchers, ground to ground, ground to air, in and around Alexandria, Virginia, and D.C. His friend is on a secret move, the same as the above, huge heavy artillery from New Jersey, Connecticut to upstate New York. The trucks assigned, 20 of them, will be moving this stuff for 2 to 3 weeks to upstate New York. Once they enter the convoy, they have no idea where they're going to go. Where they end up is where they're going to go. They were told, someone told him, this stuff is being distributed in areas to protect the population. His other friend is trucking rocket boosters from Colorado to California, Colorado to Louisiana, and Cape Canaveral. One trucker went through the Mojave Desert. FEMA was everywhere on the trip back to California. L.A. had gone through Oklahoma, Arizona, New Mexico, heard every 2 hours, prepare for a catastrophic event. Now, I'm not quite sure where that was coming from, but prepare for a catastrophic event. Food, water, two-way radio families should have a meeting point. Their company hauls containers for military truckers. Notice containers painted being trucked by the military that don't normally do it. They usually use civilian cargo. Also hearing that there are some delivery businesses, I'm not going to mention which one, is being used to cart things that are military-related, and they're in sealed containers. Flatbeds are delivering to various locations, the heavy artillery, tanks, rocket launchers, and flatbeds. A trucker at Flying J's, Joppa, Missouri, FEMA was everywhere, stopping for 10-hour rest periods, told to leave by emergency personnel. FEMA was everywhere. Many of these shipments are going to armories. Something is up, guys, and if anyone has any more information, please provide. This trucker is hyperventilating and says this is for real. We also received another report. Lots of troop maneuvers, especially in Tennessee. It's not just truckers, it's trains also. Trains are hauling heavy artillery, everything from amphibious vehicles, Humvees, rocket launcher tanks. That was in Ohio this past week. There have been truckloads after truckloads of personnel carriers. One truck stop was full of a probably 4-mile-long convoy carrying everything imaginable, potable water, fuel. He said it was an organized movement with road dogs, signs, people directing them where they could park. So there you got it, ladies and gentlemen. They're not kidding, and they're serious about what they're seeing on the road, and we're going to encourage the truckers to email us at thepowerhour@thepowerhour.com or call us at 573-378-6049, 573-378.
Okay. Remember, I was reading those about. I wanted y'all to. I wanted y'all to hear that because I wanted y'all to just see the abominations in motion. But I got one more clip I want y'all to play. I want y'all to just think about the scriptures we read. Think about what's going on. Think about how the government's trying to hide stuff. All of those abominations we read, just listen to these clips and just think. Because I'm really serious tonight. I know we're just sitting here, no, another block. But no, folks, listen, I just read to you abominations, the characteristics of the whore of Revelation 17 that is going to be judged according to prophecy. Now, we either believe in the scriptures or not. And if we don't have the scriptures, what do we have? A bunch of people talking, guessing. But so far, these scriptures, prophecies has held up. The Bible ain't no joke. The scriptures ain't no joke. Prophecies ain't no joke. Like I say, if anything, we're the ones that make believe. The scriptures and the prophecies are going to be fulfilled. I mean, they're more real, I believe, than we are. The spiritual realm is more real than we are. And these spiritual prophecies, these prophecies with regards to what the Most High is going to do in the latter days is going to happen. So we read those abominations, and I want y'all to listen to different things that's going on our planet, in our country, and tell me, do you think the United States is this whore of Revelation 17? Check this out. This is another clip. It's pretty short. And I want y'all to just let me know what y'all think of what you're hearing, okay? Check this out.
March 13th, 1962. Lyman Lemnitzer, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, presents a proposal to Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara named Operation Northwoods. The document proposed staging terrorist attacks in and around Guantanamo Bay to provide a pretext for military intervention in Cuba. The plans included starting rumors about Cuba using clandestine radio, landing friendly Cubans inside the base to stage attacks, starting riots at the main gate, blowing up ammunition inside the base, starting fires, sabotaging aircraft and ships on the base, bombing the base with mortar shells, sinking a ship outside the entrance, staging funerals for mock victims, staging a terror campaign in Miami, Florida, and Washington, D.C., and finally, destroying a drone aircraft over Cuban waters. The passengers, federal agents in reality, would allegedly be college students on vacation. A plane at Eglin Air Force Base would be painted and numbered as a duplicate of a registered civil aircraft belonging to a CIA front in Miami. The duplicate would be substituted for the real plane and loaded with the passengers. The real plane would be converted into a drone. The two planes would rendezvous south of Florida. The passenger-laden plane would land at Eglin Air Force Base to evacuate its passengers and return to its original status. The drone would pick up the scheduled flight plan and, over Cuban waters, transmit a mayday signal before being blown up by remote control. The plan is rejected by McNamara, and President John F. Kennedy personally removes Lemnitzer as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. December 1st, 1984. A remote-controlled Boeing 720 takes off from Edwards Air Force Base and is crash-landed by NASA for fuel research. Before its destruction, the plane flew a total of 16 hours and 22 minutes, including 10 takeoffs, 69 approaches, and 13 landings. August 1997. The cover of FEMA's Emergency Response to Terrorism depicts the World Trade Center in crosshairs. February 28, 1998. The Global Hawk, Raytheon's unmanned aircraft vehicle, completes its first flight over Edwards Air Force Base in California at an altitude of 32,000 feet, cruising altitude for a commercial jetliner. 1999, NORAD begins conducting exercises in which hijacked airliners are flown into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. June 2000, the Department of Justice releases the terrorism manual with the World Trade Center in crosshairs. September 2000, the Project for a New American Century, a neoconservative think tank whose members include Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Jeb Bush, and Paul Wolfowitz, releases their report entitled Rebuilding America's Defenses. In it, they declare that The process of transformation, even if it brings revolutionary change, is likely to be a long one, absent some catastrophic and catalyzing event, like a new Pearl Harbor. October 24, 2000. The Pentagon conducts the first of two training exercises called Mascow, which simulate a Boeing 757 crashing into the building. Charles Burlingame, an ex-Navy F-4 pilot who worked in the Pentagon, participates in this exercise before retiring to take a job at American Airlines, where, less than a year later, his Boeing 757 allegedly crashes into the building. April 2001. NORAD plans an exercise in which a plane is flown into the Pentagon, but is rejected as too unrealistic. June 2001. The Department of Defense initiates new instructions for military intervention in the case of a hijacking. It states that for all non-immediate responses, the Department of Defense must get permission directly from the Secretary of Defense. Attorney General John Ashcroft begins flying on chartered jets for the remainder of his term due to a threat assessment by the FBI. July 4, 2001. Osama bin Laden, wanted by the United States since 1998, receives medical attention at the American Hospital in Dubai, where he is visited by a local chief of the CIA. July 24, 2001. Larry A. Silverstein, who already owned World Trade Center 7, signs a $3.2 billion, 99-year lease on the entire World Trade Center complex 6 weeks before 9/11. Included in the lease is a $3.5 billion insurance policy, specifically covering acts of terrorism. September 6, 2001, 3,150 put options are placed on United Airlines stock. A put option is a bet that a stock will fall. That day, put options were more than four times its daily average. Bomb-sniffing dogs are pulled from the World Trade Center, and security guards end 2 weeks of 12-hour shifts. September 7, 2001. 27,294 put options are placed on Boeing stock, more than five times the daily average. September 10, 2001. 4,516 put options are placed on American Airlines, almost 11 times its daily average. Newsweek reports that a number of top Pentagon brass canceled their flight plans for the next morning. San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown receives a phone call warning him not to fly the next morning. Pacifica Radio later reveals that this phone call came directly from National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice. And in Pakistan, at a military hospital, all of the urologists are replaced by a special team in order to host their guest of honor, Osama bin Laden, who is carefully escorted inside to be watched carefully and looked after. September 11, 2001. The National Reconnaissance Office in Chantilly, Virginia, is preparing for an exercise in which a small corporate jet crashes into their building. NORAD is in the middle of a number of military exercises. The first, Vigilant Guardian, is described as an exercise that would pose an imaginary crisis to North American air defense outposts nationwide. The second, Northern Vigilance, moved fighter jets to Canada and Alaska to fight off an imaginary Russian fleet. Three F-16s from Washington, D.C.'s National Guard at Andrews Air Force Base, 15 miles from the Pentagon, are flown 180 nautical miles away for a training mission in North Carolina. This left 14 fighter jets to protect the entire United States.
All right, Boston 17, we have a problem here. We have a hijacked aircraft headed towards New York, and we need you guys to, we need someone to scramble some F-16s or something up to help us out.
Is this real world or exercise?
No, this is not an exercise manifest.
Well, Brother Gabriel Ben Yisrael said this is old news for him. Now that means that brother got his ear to the ground. It's old news for me too, and I hope everybody listening to this and even in the archives, listen later, that y'all know it really is old news to a whole lot of us, because we, not that we're better than anybody, not that we're smarter than anybody, we just understand the spiritual signs of the time in the days we live. We believe with all our heart that this country is going to be judged by the Most High. And we believe that that means that Satan is going to be given reign to do some things. When the Most High judges something, he just moves his hand of protection, and the devourers devour it. Sometimes he judges it himself. Sometimes he does things, you know, and a lot of people don't understand that, but sometimes he does things. Sometimes the Father himself does things. But I believe with all my heart that it don't all have to be just bad and gloomy. You know, I was wrestling with this topic tonight. I know it's open forum, and believe me, folks, it is open forum, but I just wanted to just play those things. Anything that's on y'all's mind you want to talk about is fine, but I just wanted to, that what was on my mind. So if you got something else on your mind, we can talk about it. Don't feel like we got to go just one way. But reason why I played those videos, audios, is to just give a little bit of credence to the abominations. I mean, folks, what we like, what we're entertained by, what we do in our for play, for fun, we are simply amused by abomination. Simple and plain. We are raised by abominations. We're raised on lies. And, as we read earlier, hands that shed innocent blood, homosexuality. These are things that we're raised on. This is normal. This is natural. You're supposed to ask people. I mean, you're supposed to accept people. Excuse me. You're supposed to accept people's sexual preference. It's abnormal to check people and say, you know what, Johnny Mary, no, this act is wrong. This lifestyle is wrong. You are out of order, because in this country, that lifestyle is normal. And I love every single person on this planet. I don't care what their sexual preference is. And I hope my lifestyle shows that. And I know that there's some of us brothers, you know, sexually speaking, some of us, you know, people these days just, I mean, some things I don't understand, but I don't have to understand everything. But there's a whole lot of folks that like a whole lot of different things. Let me just say that. But to go and start a movement, to go and start an organization and to make it just acceptable, it's a whole level of wickedness. Now, I don't want to pick on any one of those abominations. I really, really, really don't. But the bottom line I'm saying is, in America, we've got to really do some hard thinking. Hard thinking. We've got to really ask ourselves some questions. Do we really want to pass on to our children this culture? This decadent culture. There is a person, I'm going to give y'all a name. I mentioned this name before, but I don't expect y'all to remember this name, because it's a very odd name. But this man really changed my life. When I tell you who, this is one time the government might start tracking me after I say this name. This name is worse than Farrakhan. His name is worse than Black Panther. This name is, this person is called the father of terrorism. And I vehemently disagree, distance myself from his solution. For real. But I'm telling y'all, if you really want to see somebody that walked this earth that's got a clear, crystal clear revelation of the decadence of our society, write this name down. Sayyid, S-A-Y-Y-I-D. Sayyid, S-A-Y-Y-I-D. S is in Sierra, A is in Apple, Y is in yellow, I is in Irene, D is in David, space, Kotu. Most popular spelling of his last name would be Q-U-T-B, or some go as far as spelling it as K-O-T-E-B. You need both spellings to research on him because his name is just that Arab English type thing. Anyway, he wrote a book called Milestone, and this is the father of radical Islam. This is the man. This is the man who came to the United States to learn about his educational. He didn't want to come to stay like a lot of Arabs. He came to learn, and he was going to go back. He was actually impressed by the United States. He figured that there may be something he could learn about education. He was going to take it back to Saudi Arabia. But when he came here, he got a profound revelation of the culture. I mean, he began to look at every tiny detail aspect of our culture. He broke it down in many ways. He even had some things to say about black people. I mean, he was just brutal. I mean, and, you know, if you got to hear his whole story, you know, understand he just didn't come here with a vendetta to blast America. But he saw so much decadence that when he went back, he said, listen, I've seen something that we need to be aware of. We got to fight that this does not ever touch our soil, that it never comes to the Arabian soil. He began to start sharing about our women and how they dress and how they act and what they did in their spare time, and our men and how they act, how they carry themselves, what we do in our spare time, how we look at money, how we look. He even had issues with yards. I mean, everybody having their own yard. He had a major issue with that. Everybody chopping up land and they going to take care of just this little bit and that's it. This is my porch, my front yard, this is my backyard. He had problems with that because where he's from, everybody take care of all of the land. It's no such thing as chopping it up. That's why I say this man break down our culture in tiny, tiny details. And Milestone is the work where he does this. And, y'all, I'm telling y'all, I mean, I know I'm not a Muslim, and I'm very familiar with lots of Muslims, and I'm just not a Muslim. I don't do a lot of the culture things they do. And I don't agree with him. What Saeed Kotub said was, we want to stop this cancer from spreading to our people. So say no to the West. Fight the West. He says if they come aggressive at you, fight them. He didn't say start a fight. I mean, I read Milestone. He said if they come here, fight them. They try to push their culture on us. Fight them with everything you got, even if it means giving your life. So that gave birth, I guess, to the suicide bombers. He said, you fight. You do not let this culture come to our shores. And I'm only bringing him up so you can get just that aspect, because everybody is not going to put the American culture under the microscope like this guy did. Nobody is going to do that. So, I don't know no book nowhere that talk about it to the degree Milestone does. I mean, it breaks it down. Be careful ordering a book, though, because when you walk into a bookstore and order Milestone, they'll look at you like if they know anything about who he is, because this is the father. I mean, this is Osama. This guy make Osama bin Laden look like a little child. Osama bin Laden is his student of a student. Osama bin Laden is a student to the student, to the student, to the guy that's a student to him. Okay, so this guy is top, top, top. And when you break and listen to what he's saying, some things make profound sense, but I don't advocate in any way violence upon any group of people, okay? I just don't. But, again, I'm not president of a country. I don't know what to do if somebody came over to my country. I guess I probably would fight. But I don't advocate in any way, form, or fashion, starting something, going and blowing up people and all this crap. I just don't. There's another way to solve problems other than that. So I disagree with his method on how to solve the problem, but definitely I agree that this culture is decadent. And this book called Milestone is very old. This man came to the United States. This was probably back in the, I guess, the 40s or, well, I forget the time frame, I'm not going to even try to guess at it. But anyway, check out that book called Milestone by Saeed Kotip. And, again, we definitely don't agree with his solution. And a lot of people have right ideas and they have a lot of insight, but they always go cuckoo on how to carry stuff out. It's really weird. It's like the enemy jumps in and brainwashes them and gets them confused and deceived, and that's how they lose a lot of their following, because they start saying stuff that people just don't agree with. But the man has a profound revelation. I mean, this man analyzed stuff that you probably never even think about. I mean, what we eat, why we eat it. I mean, just how we're overweight and just the greed and how people, you know, we look like we're greedy because he just analyzes and dissects every aspect of the culture. So tonight, Brother Seth, why are you talking about this? Why are you sharing us about how wicked America is? Because on this show, on Thursday night, we talk about the New World Order. And we are a watch society. We are watching the New World Order. And in order to understand, to even fathom the New World Order, you got to first understand exactly who and what is America. If you don't even know that our culture is abomination, if you don't know that the very thing we call normal is making the Most High puke at the things we do and the way what we call normal, then how are you going to stretch to think that there is this government inside of the government, that this universal, international, kingdom, if you will, mocking the kingdom of the Most High, but it's a kingdom of wicked people. How are you going to even go there? That's why a lot of people kind of blow this whole subject off. That's why we have so hard a time talking to people, because people just cannot fathom America being nothing other than blessed, godly, holy, righteous, chosen. And when you start talking about the United States, and what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to literally, my goal, my purpose, my calling, I believe, is to get people to not trust the United States government and put their trust in the kingdom of the Most High. Look for the scriptures to fulfill themselves. Line yourselves up with the scriptures. If America is going to fall, what does that mean for you and your children? What does that mean, America fall? I believe the dollar is going to fall. Just like all the economists are saying, I'm no different than economists. I'm no different than the preachers that are saying this. For the first time, like I said in my life, that I can remember, the economists, the ministers, the politicians, scientists, if I didn't say science, all of them are saying the same thing. All of them are saying the same thing. I don't ever remember that happening. So I believe beyond a shadow of doubt, not because they say it, but some of y'all respect them, and I have to quote all that to get you on board. But the more important, the scripture says it. We are that nation spoken of in Revelation 17. We will be judged. We will be judged. The nations have gotten wealth through us, as Revelation 17 says. We are the mother of harlots. Our women go to work, and they're going to go in there and type on a typewriter, and they're going to go in there and do paperwork. But they wear heels. They wear pumps. They wear miniskirts. They show leg. They show cleavage. I'm telling you, a nation called the mother of harlots. Why do our women have to look like harlots just to go to work? Nobody never thought about that. You going to work, seem like everybody ought to have on tennis shoes. I don't care what you're doing. Whatever. If you're working at all, if you're going somewhere doing something repetitious or having to run around, walk around, there's no reason you're wearing pumps that's going to hurt, cause women's legs, back to be hurting and all that. Our women are prostituted, exploited. They're valuable species of people. they are, I have the most respect for women. Okay, I respect their intelligence, I respect their intuition, I respect everything about them, but they have been turned into men. They have been turned inside out. It is no reason. It is no mystery why so many of our women prefer the lesbian lifestyle, because this culture drives them to it. If men are not abusing women, disvaluing women, putting women down, they do things to pull. And as a matter of fact, this culture actually does the same to men. It breaks down men. Men are so disrespected, it ain't funny. Women are disrespected, men are disrespected. It's like we get worse and worse and worse. Men get disrespected more and more and more. Women get disrespected more and more and more. How does that happen? It's this culture. The greed. We want wealth so fast. We got our women out of the homes. And if even me saying this piss off women, because they feel like, what are you trying to say? I'm only supposed to be in the home. They don't even know their place. When they see it, they don't even like it. They don't even like what a woman's supposed to do. They think it's old-fashioned. Right now, I probably turn off every woman listening to me because they feel like, oh, that's not going to happen. But you look across the water, you see, and again, certain things I pick from the Islamic world, other things I don't. The Hindu world, some things I pick from, I pick and choose. But I'm saying with the Islamic world, they don't have these issues with women. I know y'all say that women are not educated, and this and not that. You know what? A lot of these women, you can, just because you're at home and you're taking care of the home and you're taking care of your kids and you're making sure that the kids are educated, because, you know, the school system is new. This whole school system crap, this whole public schools and daycare mess, this is stuff that is ruining our generation for real. I would love to see the numbers on how many children, you know, when they need to be with their parents, their first, I think this is the first 5 years, got a bond with your mom and dad, and they bonding with all these strange babysitters. And I know it's hard out there, and some women almost don't have an option because men is out of their place, and they're gone, not taking care of them. But all I'm saying is we have a decadent society, and it's turning our women into men and turning our men into women. That is the truth. So what Brother Seth is trying to do tonight is I share these things. Now, just something to make you think, and y'all can talk back to me if you disagree. Say, Brother Seth, I think you're smoking on something. Okay, but I just feel like the culture we live in that we call America, that we call it so great, is actually Babylon. Babylon was a place where they did not understand each other. There was a nation that was trying to build their way another way outside of the will of the Most High. They tried to enter the heavens. They tried to build something to the heavens, a structure to the heavens. And the Most High said, let us go down and stop them, because the way these people are unified, nothing can stop them. And he confused the languages of the builders. When someone said, hand me the stone, as they was building, they heard other something else. You confuse the languages, and this is where the nations of the world come from. This is why we have the different nations, because he confused the languages. And they called that place Babel, because they was babbling to each other. They didn't understand. And today, 2011, in the United Snakes of America, we are babbling to each other. We just don't make sense. Stuff don't make sense what we're hearing. We're so used to hearing lies and all of those abominations I read. We're so used to hearing that. We just think it's a language. We think we're smart when we're sounding very foolish. You know, when somebody's saying, you know, my sexual preference, we think that's some neat. We think, you know, have a sexual preference. We always made you. All you got to do is look at your body and you know what your sexual preference is. But people will sit up and stop the flow of life and call it normal, natural. And those people in our society is oftentimes heralded as a hero. Simple and plain. And I'm not judging people. I'm judging behaviors. We've got to line ourselves up. I mean, sometime I'll tell a lie. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. I will sometime write things on applications that, you know, just to, you know, I mean, I got my weaknesses. I got things that I do. But if I go out and try to start an organization for liars where they get benefits, that's crazy. So be it liars, cheaters, murderers, rapers, why do we all understand who those people are? We are very aware of who they are, and we stand strong against them because we see the evil. But being deceptive, you don't see that. That's why deceptive people are just everywhere doing their thing. But we can see what lying does. We can see what raping does. I mean, because the destruction comes fast with the victim. Pain comes fast and hard and clear and vivid. We can see the destruction that those behaviors do. But there's other behaviors you can't quite see it. Unless you look way out in the long run. So I'm just sharing tonight. Like I said, it's open forum. And we're just sharing, talking. I'm telling y'all, it's tight, but it's right. I don't mean to. I'm blessed to still have people on the phone lines and chat room because this kind of conversation is rough. It's rough, it's rough, it's rough. I know it is. And step on people's toes. But we got to line ourselves up with truth. We can't go redefining what truth is. We got to line our lives up with the truth. We got to line our lives up with the truth. We have to line our life up with the truth. If we're doing stuff just because we like it, I mean, it's stuff I like, you know, but if it's wrong, it's just wrong. I mean, I don't understand. When people get on me and say, Brother Seth, you're doing this, you're doing that, I just be like, hey, I'm wrong. Pray for me. But I just can't understand why in the world some people will try to defend stuff they know is wrong. Like, go and try to get other people to do it and start committees and start rights and go to Congress and march on Capitol Hill just to. And I'm talking about all kind of folk. I'm talking about people that swindle money from the government. I'm talking about people that's got little laws to favor their community. I'm talking about all kind of evil. I'm not talking about just no one thing. I know I hit homosexuality kind of hard earlier, but I'm not talking about just that one thing. I'm talking about any kind of wickedness. We just got to look at ourselves and just really question, why do we do this? Why do we do that? I'm going to go ahead and do this right here, folks. I've got to take a drink. I'm just talking and I'm talking and talking. I'm going to play a song just for us. Actually, let's do this. I won't do that. I won't take that much time. I'm just going to play a quick little word from our sponsor, and then I'll be back to give some solutions. We're going to talk about some of the things we can do to help us line ourselves up with the Most High's word so we'll be blessed and not cursed and not a part of this judgment that he is about to bring upon the United States of America. Because, folks, I'm telling you, just as sure as you can hear my voice, it's coming. It is coming. And if we don't line ourselves right and get in the right place with our families, we will be a part of the judgment. I'm telling you, we will be a part of the judgment. I know this is just a blog. We're just sharing, talking. But I promise you, it's a warning also for all of us. It is a warning for sure.
Shalom. My name is Kingdom. I am a website designer. And I want to thank you for listening to our Smooth Stone Radio. If you need a website for your business, your ministry, or just personal, you can go to practicalwebsolution.com. That is practicalwebsolution with no S .com. Or you can call me for a free consultation at 954-372-7469. That is 954-372-7469. And I want to thank you all for listening to Fire Smooth Stone Radio, where the truth of the biblical Hebrews are being brought forth during these last days, where Israel, the Israelites of the Bible, are awakening from amnesia to its true identity. The Hebrews of the Bible, which are called the Israelites, are so-called modern-day Negroes all the lost tribes of Israel, which are scattered all over this planet. Come join Brother Seth on a weekly basis right here on Blog Talk Radio, as he embark on a challenging journey to assemble the lost tribe of Israel, God's chosen people. Yes, the Israelites are God's chosen people, and we are going to go back to our land. There will never be peace in the Middle East till God's chosen people are back in the land. Shalom, shalom.
Hey, all. This is John Clark in Lexington, Kentucky. I just want to give big ups to Five Smooth Stones Blog Talk Radio show. Reason being is that I've enjoyed this show. I've enjoyed it from its inception with Brother Seth and Sister Arlene. They have given greater clarity, I guess I would say, to a lot of the scriptures that we always knew were there, but now they have opened up these scriptures so that now I can see things that I just simply had not seen before. And now when I study the Bible, I look at it from an entirely different perspective. And this is actually not just for the Hebrew Israelites or for the Christians. This is just from a scientific standpoint. Anyone can listen to this show and enjoy it as such. Not to mention the fact that Brother Seth brings a lot of humor to it, which makes it very, very down to earth. So big ups to the Five Smooth Stones. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Okay. Just had to get those. And I always like hearing those testimonials. And I'm going to do more of that. A lot of people have spoken to me and let me know that they want to share what it's been to them. So y'all get to hear more. But it's just a matter of time. I just got to be able to get more time. I can see my good friend, Brother Gabriel Ben Yisrael, is on. I want to go ahead and see what he has to say on the subject. I know he always have a good word, so I want to see what he has to say about what has been spoken so far. I think I got his number here right. Let's see here, 708-903. Did I get the right number for Brother Gabriel Ben Yisrael?
Shalom.
Shalom, my brother.
Shalom.
How you doing,
blessed.
My brother?
I'm blessed.
What do you
How
think
about
of the show so far? Give me your honest opinion. I want you to sometimes disagree with me, man. I don't do it unless you really do, though. But, I mean, I just want you to be honest. What do you think so far what you heard? Do you think these abominations fit America? You think I'm being too hard? You think Saeed Kotep was smoking on some when he wrote that book, Milestone, breaking down American culture as being wicked and just straight-up satanic?
Well, when I had lack of understanding and was asleep in person, I would have said, yeah, that's not the truth and all that, defending homosexuality. That's when I didn't read the word for myself or I didn't have people that actually spoke the truth. So, and the word said you're supposed to prophesy. So people say you're judging and all this. So when you tell the truth in most people's eyes, you're judging them. But if you love them for real, you're supposed to tell them the truth or give them show them what the judgment and the possibilities and the things they're supposed to do. And America is basically backwards. America trying to destroy the truth as much as possible. And people fight for the truth. Like on my YouTube, a lot of shows I be watching, the people getting eliminated for whatever, and stuff. So the truth is hard to find right now. So yeah, America is Babylon, and as I say in the scriptures, Babylon is falling. It's falling. Basically, it fell once. Then his daughter's going to fall too. And we're the land we stand now is the daughter of Babylon. So if the scriptures, the word say, the Most High word will not come back void. So if Babylon's going to fall again to no longer be inhabited this time. So.
Yeah, I feel you on that, my brother. I feel you on that. And I just I just was thinking about this show tonight, and I didn't want to just, you know, kind of wrestling with this topic tonight, because I don't always want to talk about everything bad, and I want to sometime bring up the good things about America, and, you know, because this is my home. This is a home. I'm not going to say, I think I like to say it like this. African Americans have dual citizenships. According to the scriptures, I mean, if you're going to just go by just logic and just what makes spiritual sense, common sense, soulish sense, according to the scriptures, and what is to happen to Israel, according to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 46, where Moses says that these curses are blessings. It's what's going to be upon Israel forever. If you just believe that that scripture means what it says, it's face value. According to that, African Americans would be the true Hebrews or the Jews of the Bible, because no other people live out those blessings on the planet. And I mean, no nation live out those blessings and the curses we live out like our next breath. I mean, we live. African American culture is the fulfillment of the curses in the Bible. It's just flat out that. So if that's the case right there, that changes everything about this country. I mean, if we are Israel, one of the lost tribes, that means this will have to be Babylon. You look at Revelation 17, all the things that Babylon is supposed to do, because it's all in the Bible. This is no twisted scripture. Oh, it means that. It says that. Well, maybe it means fuzzy stuff. It's clear. I just read it earlier. Or it was, I didn't read it, but it just read earlier that she would be the mother of harlots. The mother of harlots. This nation is going to be the mother of harlots. In other words, harlotry, so to speak, will come from her. The mother of abominations. Everything about this country seem abominable. I mean, the way we look at money, the way we look at people, people are just commodity. Women are just like, we look at women like meat at on a, you know, we just don't value our women. We don't value our kids. And I mean, people say, oh, you're just being so bad. And you're so, but hold on, let me just say, and so it's like you, all of this stuff, you want to say, okay, but other nations got their issues too. You want to just not say it, but if you go down that road and say, well, it's not that bad, you're a fool. I mean, only a fool will walk in a snake pit where there's snakes everywhere and just say, well, there's just a few snakes. You know, every nation has snakes. Every nation got. I mean, this stuff is killing not just us. This culture is not just murdering us. It's murdering the world. This is why China don't want the gospel or the Christians in their land. It ain't cause of Christ. It's cause of these people's interpretation of Christ. It's the Western way of looking at the Bible. You know, no telling what China would do if we presented a wholesome, healthy, true concept of the book, of the Bible. China might be all believers, all followers of the Most High. But because these people that's leading our nation go with this trickery and deception and trying to set up puppet regimes, and they use Christianity to topple government, they go in there sitting missionaries, but those missionaries, it's not as innocent as they look, because those missionaries work hand in hand with corporations. I need to do a show on that. That's what will trip people out. So I'm saying, when you look at all this stuff going on, yeah, you just want to have fun. Like my wife told me one time, and I appreciate her because she helped me stay balanced. She said, upset people just want to live. They just want to raise their kids and have fun, go to Six Flags, and they don't want to hear this all the time. That's true. That's true. But I'm going to tell you something. While she has a serious point, brother, you better not be chilling out too much at Six Flags and not realize what's going on in our planet, in this country and on the planet, because if you don't, you can find yourself literally 6 feet under from not understanding the diet and what we should and shouldn't eat. If you don't understand and take this nation serious and this the kind of topics we talk about serious, Brother Gabriel, it can affect your children. It can affect your mind. A lot of people are insane. The last thing I'm going to say, and I want you to comment on this, please. I know I'm talking a lot, but I'm just, it's flowing out of me, and I just want to open up the line to where you be with me. But a lot of, I was one day moved to look up the word for insanity. A lot of what we see is insane. A lot of what we call normal, we look at so-and-so, you know, even though you drive on the freeway, it's insane how we drive on the freeway. So many people are killed in car accidents, and to see people whizzing by going 80 miles an hour, going to get a sundae, chocolate sundae, it's insane. All these diesel trucks around, you can lose your life in a second. You got all these people carrying all types of stuff in these trucks, gas, and folks just, it's insane. A lot of what you're going to see tomorrow from 8 to 5 is insanity. You're going to see it with your own eyes. Straight up insanity. Crazy. You understand? You follow me? You feel me?
Yes,
Brother Gabriel.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I say, do you are you hearing me? Do you feel what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But anyway, I didn't mean to put you on the spot, man. I know you didn't even press one on your phone, but I just saw you in the chat room and just had to get your little 2 cents. But look, I'm going to meet you and I'm going to wrap this show up, but I appreciate you chiming in with me there.
Well, may Ahaya bless you and keep your mission with light in the fast.
Amen. I receive that. I receive that. But anyway, that's Brother Gabriel. I just had to pick on him and get his 2 cents in. He always has something to say. Some days more vocal than others. But anyway, I really appreciate that, brother. But anyway, folks, always saying we're going to wrap this up, but I just want to say this. Think about this word, those of you listening, and those of you on the archives are going to be listening in the future. Think about this right here. Think about this right here. Insanity. Insanity. How much do we see in the course of a day that's insane and we call it normal? Now I know some people say, Brother Seth, I don't get it. I don't get what do you mean by insanity? What I'm saying is so much of what we see is just flat-out insanity. You know, if you saw somebody making a bunch of noise, batting at flies in the winter or something like that, you wouldn't pay them no mind, would you? You just say, oh, they lost their mind. Father, help them. That's what you should do. You should pray for them. You don't take them serious, though. You wouldn't ask them about life, or you wouldn't ask them about how to raise children or nothing like that, because you would consider them insane. Listen to the definition of insanity. Listen to this, folks. I know y'all say, I know what insanity means. We all know what it means, but listen to the official definition of insanity. Relatively permanent disorder of the mind. Relatively permanent disorder of the mind, state or condition of being insane. Okay? Utter folly, stupidity, derangement of the mind. I like that one. Just a derangement, not arranged, but deranged. Madness, craziness, mania. A lot of the way we behave every day, I mean every single day, we we probably do something that's flat out insane. Now, what am I trying to say? I don't want nobody thinking I'm calling somebody insane. I'm saying people act insane. They become insane for about 5 minutes, 3 minutes throughout the day. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that maybe I do too. Maybe I, for the period of, I don't know, minute, two, three, maybe more. I mean, if you walk by a woman, young girl, and you're an older man, and she's not carrying herself right, and you don't say nothing to her, but you talk about it inside, that right there is participating in insanity. That's a part of insanity right there. That's like somebody batting the flies in the window, making crazy noises on a park bench, running up and down the street with no clothes on. It's the same stuff. It's insanity. One more time. Listen to the definition. I know y'all saying, I know what the definition is. I can hear y'all saying that. But for real, it's the derangement of the mind. It's craziness. We are required to raise these young girls. Everybody ain't going to be raised up in your house. Everybody you're supposed to give advice to doesn't eat at your table. We see stuff every day. I'm not trying to say I'm perfect because, again, I participate in this folly every single day, flying up and down the freeway. You don't know what's under your hood. You really can't trust the idle arm and the tire rod and all that stuff. You can kill yourself. We commit suicide, a type of, we play Russian roulette every day on the freeways. Serious. Some of the ways we treat our spouses and husbands, our spouses, is insane. It's insanity. Some of the stuff we do at these churches is flat out insanity. It's just insane. The Most High, I really believe He was dealing with me it's been on my mind like the last 90 days, somewhere around there, about the last 3 months. This word keeps coming up, insanity. As I go throughout my day, I see stuff, and I say, ooh, there it is right there. Look. I'm talking to myself now. I say, that person is actually insane. Look at them. Look how they're behaving. And I come to agree that a lot of people that we think is okay and normal, a lot of people practicing racism, it's just flat out crazy that you would take a black man that's working as hard as he can and on your job, and you just mess with him. You get more work. You try to get him fired. Look how much people try to write you up and get you in trouble and get you fired over the dumb. You cannot smile at somebody at the job. Maybe you didn't say, thank you for shopping with us, and they'll send a letter to the president and get you fired, which means your kids can't eat and you're going to struggle for a while, all because you didn't say, thank you for shopping at. I mean, insanity. All day long we see it in this country and we don't think nothing of it. This is on a small level. We was earlier talking about big things, New World Order, different things, but I'm talking about little things we do every day. If you can see the insanity and really see it for being insane, you won't have no trouble believing that this country truly is babbling or Babylon. So tonight, what have I tried to do? What was my goal? Did I accomplish it? My goal is just to shed light on a very ugly, ugly set of circumstances in this region called United States of America. And I'm hoping that we can see this ugliness, and maybe some of us participate in some of this ugliness, and we can say, you know what, I will not participate any longer in this insanity. We will not begin to engage in stuff that's anti-life, that's not going to promote life. If it ain't promoting life and enhancing life, run like it's a Rottweiler, run like it's a lion. We should not be engaging in anything that does not promote life. Lying, cheating, being deceitful hinders life, causes all types of fights and miscommunication and misunderstanding and pain. And that pain eventually slows down impedes life. Quality of life, life is the same thing. So, anyway, there you have it. That was on my heart, heavy, just talking, shedding light on this, what this place is, what it's about, abominations, and trying to encourage us not to be a part of it. Folks, trust me, I'm not no perfect angel, and y'all probably know that anyway. Some of y'all know me. But if you do nothing else, if you're not learning anything else on this show, please get the book Milestone by Sayyid, S-A-Y-Y-I-D, K-O-T-E-B. Type me in on the internet. You might be able to get a free copy of Milestone online some kind of way. But I'm telling you, that book right there, it is something to have on your shelf. If you just to have it and say, I got a copy of Milestone. Lots of people have it's the bestseller all over the world. And even people that, you know, not Muslim have Milestone because people want to know what is the whole purpose behind this jihad and all this stuff. And it's that one person, Sayyid Qutb. He is the father of radical Islam. So we don't agree with his radicalism, but we definitely agree with his radical interpretation of the West. That I put my stamp on because other people have said it before him. As a matter of fact, they was doing a special on KERA between Sayyid Qutb and this white gentleman that was saying the exact same thing. One of them was born and raised in America, a white man, and another one was from Saudi Arabia, Sayyid Qutb, the father of radical Islam. But you know what? I'm going to end on this song, says, Got the Victory. Because truly, folks, the Bible said where sin abound, where sin is, grace is much more there. So where you see a lot of sin, just look hopeless, just remember, the Bible said where sin abound, grace doeth much more abound. So where there is a lot of sin, there's a lot of grace and mercy. Most High have a way out. We just got to seek him, pray, ask for direction. Father, help me not to be insane. Get me out of this web. Pray, call on the Most High. That's all we truly got. Our money can't save us. Our Rolodex friends can't save us. We have got to turn our lives over to the Most High and follow him wherever he leads us. Love every single one of y'all. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Check this out. We'll go out with this Got the Victory by Ty Tribbett. And I say to the Israelites out there, awake Zion. Awake Zion. Put on thy strength.
Yeah! Let's go!